Let's go ahead and take our Bibles tonight to Psalms 119 once again. Psalms 119. I tell you, I don't know where I'd be if it were not for the grace of God, the preaching of the cross, all those different things. It's just an interesting thought. We knew we wouldn't be here. We know we wouldn't be doing what we should be doing and what we consider important is because the grace that God has showed to us. Psalms 119. This one is probably different than any of the others. Remember, they're broken down into 22 different 8-verse packages or 8-verse segments, and we're in verses 81 through 88 tonight. And David or whoever the psalmist is, and we've told you the reasons why we think it's David. Seems like he is very anguished, very depressed. He's in a very dark spot in his life. You're going to see it's going to become brighter and more cheerful as time goes along. But as if you remember the first 80 verses, there is. Really struggling, and he's showing us and telling us, this is what I do when I struggle. Because the reality is, there are dark days sometimes. There are times that are hard and times that are tough. And I'm not saying it brings everyone to depression, doesn't bring everyone as low as the psalmist gets, but this is a man after God's own heart. This is a man who he's admitting his struggling, and he says, look, I did not forsake. I did not forsake thy precepts. I hope in thy word. I did this and I did that. This is the things he clung on to. So I thought this is good because of how much it's appropriate, because there are a lot of people today that struggle with depression, a lot of people today that don't know what to do when there's dark times. And he's like, the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And the reality is, yes, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be rejoicing. But at the same time, we rejoice in the Lord. Sometimes our circumstances are not something that is something super exciting. I think about the story of Job and all the things he did. He did not curse God. He did well with his circumstances. And there was something he had to learn, and he learned because he stayed faithful. So let's go ahead and read this through, and then we're going to just kind of look at some different points in it and think about what the Bible says, looking for God's deliverance or longing for help from heaven. Either sermon title would work, but he's longing for help. We're going to start in verse number 80, just because last week I don't think we gave it enough attention, but it kind of sets the tone for the rest of the passage. It says, let my heart. Now, what is the heart? The heart is the mind. It's the center of life. It's our emotions. It's our feeling. It's the center point where thy statutes. And then it says, thy be not ashamed. And you say, how does that apply to depressions and dark times and hard times? If your heart is sound, if your heart is set, if your mind, your heart, whatever you want to call it, there is there and is focused, and you have God's word in it, and it is established in God's word, when you make decisions and when you make choices, you're going to make it from that. You're not going to make it from based off emotional decisions. You're going to say, look, my heart is fixed. It's established. It's centered on God's word. And as I'm making these decisions, it's based off the things that my heart is fixed to. Many times people base their decisions off things their heart is fixed to. You think about sometimes young people, even older people, as they're dating or as they're, quote, unquote, falling in love, they'll do stupid things sometimes. They'll say stupid things. Why is that? Because their heart is fixed on Thomas is saying in verse number 8, I want my heart to be sound. I want it to be fixed. I want it to be established in the word of God or in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. Because when people's hearts are not established, when bad times happen, we do some dumb things sometimes. You ever done anything that you're ashamed of? I've done lots of things I'm ashamed of. I've probably done something today I was ashamed of. I wish I hadn't do. And so the principle there is my heart needs to be established in these principles. So with that thought, look what it says in verse number 81. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. My eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, Yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant when thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. You see where it says things like, my soul fainteth in verse number 1. Verse 81, 82 says, my eyes fail for thy word. And then it talks about verse 83, for I am become like a bottle in the smoke. And then you see that over and over in this passage of Scripture, he's struggling. And the one thing that's the overwhelming theme, I hope in God's word, I'm sticking with God's word, I'm holding on to God's word, and asking God for help. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray in this interesting passage, it's unlike any of the other eight groups of eight verses, that we'll learn and grow what to do even despite hard times. And Lord, that we will stay focused on you and that we'll trust in your words, not just keep them, but also not forsake them, meaning that we're going to continue on doing them, not just know them, but have a working knowledge and letting it exhibit in my life, even when others come to persecute, even when others come to do harm. Lord, help us to see and believe and trust that you are good and you can do all things. In Jesus' name, amen. So one preacher wrote in description of this passage, his enemies have brought him to the lowest condition of anguish and depression, yet he is faithful to the law and trustful in his God. This octave is the midnight of the psalm, and very dark and black it is. Stars, however, shine out, and the last verse gives promise of the dawn. The strain will after this become more cheerful, but meanwhile it should minister comfort to us to see so eminent a servant of God so hardly used by the ungodly. Evidently, in our own persecution, no strange thing has happened unto us. Have you faced persecution before? And that's what the psalmist is talking about. He's been treated wrongly. They said they dug pits for him, which was against God's law. They said things, they unjustly accused him and did different things like that. And so that's what he's saying. Hey, God, I really need your help. And that's when it says, Lord, help me, or God, help me. So the first point is, look at the people he had to deal with. Look at the people he had to deal with. If you look in verse number 1, he says, my soul fainteth, and you see the words, for thy salvation. He's interested in God. He's not interested in anybody else offering some type of outsource of help or trying to pat you on the back or trying. He's looking for God's salvation. He's looking for God to do a work during this time that no one else could do. And he has to deal with some very unpleasant people. You know what? Evil people don't play fair. They just don't. The devil doesn't play fair. And when the devil inspires somebody to do something, he's not playing by some rules. A lot of times people think, well, they'll never do that, or they'll never say that, and they'll never, and you go back and you look 30 years ago, what they would never do is something that's common today. You go and think, well, there's no way that the liberal people will go so far as, and you see that's coming more and more, and we don't understand. We're thinking, well, where's the moral decency of people? Where is the sanctity of life? Where is just common courtesy? All those different things. And I want you to see what they're saying here is David saying, hey, look, these are the people that I'm dealing with. First thing I want you to think about, they were proud. You see what it says? It says in verse number 82, mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when will thou comfort me? You go down to verse number 85 says, the proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. So David is dealing with someone who's prideful. So what does prideful mean? Or what does proud mean? It means you can't tell them anything. It means that they are right, they're going to do things their own way, and they are so stuck on themselves that you can't encourage. And that's what David's dealing with. He's dealing with someone who is not doing what is right. He's not dealing with someone who cares about what God says. They thought they needed to do something. They thought they needed to get rid of David. They says, okay, how can we get rid of him? Can we say bad things about him? Can we dig pits for him? Can we do this? Can we do that? You say, how does this apply to our lives? We're going to meet people who are prideful too. We're going to meet people out there in our day-to-day, especially if you're living for God and trying to do what's right. The devil is going to bring somebody up in your life who's going to try to knock you down a couple of levels. So the question is, what do you do with it? What do you learn from these dark days of the psalmist? What do you see from this? He says, look, I had to deal with prideful people. And sometimes prideful people will do things that the end will justify the means in their mind. They'll say lies in order just to try to do something that is to get their will accomplished. I see this happen in politics all the time. You sit there and you realize that they make some bold-faced lie, and it's just an outward lie that everybody knows is a lie, but they're just trying to get their point across. And even if they come out that it's truthful, that they lied later on, they don't even say they're sorry. They don't care. They got their point done. They have accomplished something. They have smeared the name of something, or they smeared the idea or the thought of something. And David says, I'm dealing with prideful people. And so number one, we should learn that, hey, I had to deal with these people. How am I going to respond? Number two, we should make sure we're not prideful. Because I've seen it happen. I've seen good people become so prideful and feeling that they were right, that they're like the bull in the china shop. They just go and they knock everything over. They're not doing it on purpose. They're trying to accomplish something, but in all reality, they're not going about it the right way. And David says, I'm dealing with prideful people. He knows where it says, the proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law, says in verse number 85. This is, how do you trap an animal? You trap the animal in order to dig a pit. They were doing anything they could to dig pits, to try to get him to fall, anything they could to trick him. It didn't matter if it was right. It didn't matter if it was something that was pure. It didn't matter if it was something that was good. All they cared about, all they focused on was hurting David. And sometimes we'll face people like that. Sometimes we'll come across people who are trying to hurt us and don't care if what they did was right. And they don't care if what they did was godly. And they don't care as long as they're getting their point across and as long as they can force their way and their methods. And if you call them on it, they're like, oh, well, that's just how I feel. The second thing is, not only is he dealing with prideful people, he was dealing with unjust people. If you keep on reading, it says, verse 86, all thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. It's unjust. They're bringing accusations up and they're saying, hey, look, he did this. It's just not true. And many times when you make an accusation about someone else, whether it's true or not, once it's out there, it can ruin a person's life. And that's what David is saying here. They're being unjust. He says, he's not saying, look, I've done something wrong. I'm seeking forgiveness and I'm sorrowful for what I did. And what they're saying is true. Please help me, God. Help them to have grace. Help them to be merciful. And he says, no. That what they're saying is unjust and it's wrong. And that's the person that the type of people is dealing with. The next one, you see that they're spiteful also. You continue on. They had almost consumed me upon earth. And it's the idea that they were spiteful, that they didn't care how hard it was for him. They didn't care how bad things got for him. They just continued on and it continued on. They kept on pouring it on and pouring it on and pouring it on. They were trying to harm him. So look at these things. I mean, they were trying to dig the pits. It didn't matter if it was a lie. It didn't matter that they were persecuting him wrongfully. All those things didn't matter. All they wanted to do was to harm David. We need to be careful we don't get there. I've seen Christians be there and they'd be so angry and so upset with someone, bitterness and hard-heartedness, that they just hold on to something and they won't let go and let God take care of things. That's a dangerous spot to be in. But also, what happens when someone does this to us? Have you ever somebody that was so prideful that they made accusations about you, and even though you showed them, hey, this isn't true, this isn't wrong, they don't want to believe it? Have you ever met someone who unjustly accuses you and persecutes you and says all those bad things, or someone who out there is just spiteful that they just dislike you so much? It doesn't matter if it's a saved person, and hopefully it's not a Christian, but an unsaved person who sees something and just wants to needle you and hurt you. There are people out there like that, and that's what's happening with David. So let's see see what the effect was on him. Look what it says in verse number 81. It says, my soul fainted for thy salvation. Now, the idea of soul is talking about the inward part, once again. There's a different word that's used in the Hebrew language. It's the word heart that's found in verse number 80, but it still gives the same emphasis, the inside part. It's inside of us. It says he was fainting. You ever fainted before? I've done it maybe once or twice in my life when I was really sick. I remember one time when I was a kid in elementary school and I was sick, and they went and took my fever. You know, elementary school, they look at you and say, are you really sick? And I'm like, yeah, I'm really sick. Because you go, guess because you want to get out of class. Well, they took my temperature, it was kind of high. So I was sitting there and she made me sit on the ground. I didn't understand why the nurse made me sit on the ground. It's because of the fact that a little bit later on, I had passed out. And then when my parents had gotten there, they had woke me up or whoever, and I fainted because of the fact that that's how sick I was. And it means that I really couldn't control myself. And that's what he's saying his heart is. He's fainting. He's done. He's overwhelmed to the point of exhaustion. And he's asking, he says, my soul, my innermost being is fainting for, but look what they're looking for. He's looking for salvation. He's at such a bad spot, he says, I need your help or I'm not going to make it. I am overwhelmed right now, but what I'm overwhelmed about is, God, I need to see you work, and God, I need to answer your prayers. So he is seeking out after God. When these people are being unjust, when they're being spiteful, when they are trying to harm him, what does he do? Does he turn around and start smacking people around? Does he start making false accusations and being spiteful to them and trying to abuse them? No, what does he do? He is fainting inside, not because of what they're doing as much as he's saying, God, I need you to work in my life. And it's important to see this is a fact that his soul's overwhelmed. You look at what it says in verse number 82, mine eyes fail for thy word. It gives the idea of looking into his word so much that his eyes have just gotten so tired. He says, this is what I'm trusting. This is my focus. And that's his eyes. One preacher put it this way. His eyes gave out with eagerly gazing for the kind of appearance of the Lord, while his heart and weariness cried out for a speedy comfort to read the word until the eyes can no longer see is but a small thing compared to watching for the fulfillment of the promise till the inner eyes of expectancy begin to grow dim with hope deferred. He's saying that I've been just watching and watching and watching, and my eyes are failing for me. They are growing so tired because all these things are happening, and it's overwhelming me, and I really, truly need God's help. So here's the last point is, not only look at what the people he had to deal with and the effect it had on him. There is one more thing there. It said it made him old. If you look at verses 83 and 84, all the things that he was being put through aged him. It says, for I am become like a bottle in the smoke. And one of the commentators wrote this. The bottle in the smoke means this. The skins used for containing wine, when they were emptied, they were hung up in the tent. And when the place reeked with smoke, the skin would grow black and sooty. And in the heat, they became wrinkled and worn. The psalmist's face, through sorrow, had become dark and dismal, furrowed and lined. And indeed, his whole body had so sympathized with sorrowing mind that it had lost its natural moisture and had become like a skin dried. His skin was dried and tanned. His character had been smoked with slander, and his mind has been parched with persecution. He was half afraid that he would become useless and incapable through so much mental suffering, and that men would look upon him as an old, worn-out skin bottle, which could hold nothing and answer no purpose. What a metaphor. We think about David, a man after God's own heart, a poet, a master in Israel. If not a king, someone that we remember as that ruddy countenance when Samuel brought him in, he said he had this ruddy countenance. And now we remember back all those years, but after these many years of serving God and these many years of facing these things, he's saying he's worn out. This has aged me. This has harmed me. This has hurt me. This has brought me to a very, very low spot in my life. And it comes to this moment in time, and he says, look, I have aged because of this. And then, but he says in verse 83, he says, yet do I not forget thy statutes. Then even in verse 84, he says, how many are the days of thy servant? And maybe you're dealing with somebody. Maybe it's a long-term thing. Maybe it's a family thing that, you know, it's something like, boy, you have aged me. I remember people say, well, you're the reason why I have gray hair. I've heard people say that. I remember my mom started going gray She said about 6 months after I was born, she started having gray hair, and that she was in her late 20s. And she doesn't blame me, I'm sure, but I've heard that before, that it was she was having that gray hair at early age. And sometimes people say, what's going on is you are making me old, all the things I'm dealing with. And that's what David is saying. This is taking an effect on me. This is to the point that it almost consumes me. If you see it, it says in verse number 87, they had almost consumed me upon earth. I had almost just completely gave up. I was almost done with this. I was so overwhelmed. But let's see what he does with it. How did he deal with it? The first thing I want you to see is in verse 81, he says he hoped in thy word. And that's a great thing. If we have God's word, he dealt with it by hoping in God's word. He could read it and he could see that we should not fret over the evil doing, as it talks about in Psalms 37, that we don't have to give up, that this world isn't what it all has and it's not all we have. It's sort of like Abraham. He saw that promise in the distance. It was far ahead. And when he saw that in the distance, he didn't have to get there. It didn't have to be perfect. He knew what the truth was. And he knew that someday that his people were going to get that land. He understood all those things. And that's when we have hope in his word, we realize no matter what anybody does to me, they can't take me out of God's family. What are you going to do? Are you going to persecute me so much that no longer I'm a Christian? You can't do that. It's impossible. You can't threaten somebody with heaven, because when a Christian dies, that's where they go. And it's the hope that's found in his word is that truth will come out and that the wicked will be punished. And it's hard going through it. But David says the thing that I held on to was, number one, I hoped in his word. The next thing he even says in verse number 86, he says, all thy commandments are faithful. Sometimes that's hard to see. When you're being persecuted and given a hard time and being harassed to the point that it takes you to a spot where you're very dark and very depressed and don't know what to do and don't know where to turn around, it's aging you. He says, look, there's one thing I know. Your word has always been faithful. It's always been right. It's always been true. Despite the fact that they were being unjust to him, despite the fact they were digging the pits for him, despite the fact that they were being spiteful and all those other things, he says, look, there's something I know and has found that thy... And he says, all thy commandments are faithful. I also think that he asked some questions. I don't think there's anything wrong with asking a question. I think there's something wrong with questioning God. I don't think there's anything wrong with asking a question. But questioning God is something that we always know how good and faithful he is to us. Look at some of the questions he asked. He asks in verse number 82 at the end, when wilt thou comfort me? I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that. God, I'm going through all these things. I'm hoping in your word. I'm not forsaking your commandments. I'm still doing those things, but I'm struggling here. Lord, will you comfort me? And we find comfort in his word. Remember, his heart is fixed. As verse number 80 said, that let my heart be sound in thy statutes. He asked that question. Then he also asked the next question in verse number 84. He says, when will thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? He says, when are you going to get them right? I'm going through all these things. When is it that you're going to cause them to face? They're going to have to answer for what they're doing. And sometimes in this world, it doesn't seem like they're having to answer. Sometimes it seems like they are the ones that are winning and that they're the ones that are profiting and those are the ones that are laughing. But we have a trust in God's word that God will always be faithful, and we hope in his word and that we know that he's always going to be good and always going to do what's right. Verse number 86, he doesn't stop there. He doesn't just keep on asking the questions. Instead, he says at the end, help thou me. He says, God, all these people are persecuting me unjustly. They're digging pits. They're doing this. They're doing all these things. God, what I'm looking for is your help. It's thy salvation that I'm looking for. That is what my soul was fainting for. I can't handle what's going on without your help. It's that understanding that I need God and I'm trusting in him, and Lord, if you don't help me, my soul is going to faint. I'm looking for the day and time that you will comfort me. Then he also says in verse number 83, he says that he does not forget thy statutes. He was saying that I have been aged and I feel like this is wearing me out and that this is affecting my body and it's hurting me. But he says, you know what? I'm not going to forget your statutes. That is one thing I'm making a promise here. I'm not going to forget your statutes. Verse 87, he says, he was not going to forsake. He says, verse 87, they had almost consumed me upon the earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Now, there's a difference between saying I'm not going to forget and I forsook. The idea of forgetting means that it's going to be a knowledge that I'm doing. The forsaking part means I was doing God's precepts. I was doing God's law. I was doing what was right. And I'm making this commitment. I'm going to still keep on doing what's right. Sometimes when things are dark and things are hard, we stop reading our Bible. It's the most important time when we're being hurt and we're being abused and we're being taken advantage of. We need to run to Him. We see the psalmist saying, Lord, help me. And we need to get in His Word and we need to be praying, not to just do some type of feigned praying to try to build up our resistance of what we think is right or what we think is wrong, but going to God and saying, Lord, help me. And then we keep on doing those things that we know we're supposed to. We don't throw out going to church just because of the fact that someone's hurting us or attacking us. We don't throw out the fact that I'm not going to read my Bible anymore because of the fact that I don't hear God answer my prayers or I don't see God working in my life. Instead, we trust in His Word and we say, I'm not going to give up thy precepts. I'm going to keep on doing them. Then he said in verse 88, he says he desires to keep his testimonies. Look what it says at the end of verse 88, so shall I keep the testimonies of thy mouth. He says, I want to keep on doing what's right. I need your help. And you look what it says at the beginning of 88. He's saying, quicken thou me. That word we've looked at more than once in Psalms 119 is talking about revive me. He says, Lord, I need you to pick me back up. I need you to revive my heart. I need you to revive my spirit because I am struggling so much because of how many people are hurting me. How many people are attacking me? They are wearing me out. They are aging me. But Lord, I am fainting because I need you. I'm trusting in your word or hoping in your word. I'm not forgetting your precepts. I'm not giving up doing the things that are right. But God, I need revival. I need reviving. And God, give me strength. Help me to do these things so I can know how to deal with those that are obnoxious and those that are just there to hurt us and those that are there to just harm anything to do with Christianity or anything to do with my family, all those things that are so overwhelming to deal with, Lord, I need a reviving spirit from you. That way I can keep the testimonies. That's my desire. I want to keep your testimonies. I don't want to give up. I don't want to throw in the towel. God, I need you step by step and day by day. It's dependence. It's driving us to God. It's driving us to our knees. It's us saying, God, if I don't have you, I'm going to faint. God, if I don't have you, I'm going to fall. If I don't have you, I'm going to fail. And I want to keep your precepts. And how often do we learn more when bad things happen? When someone is attacking us, it might hurt, but it's something that many times it gives us an opportunity to look more like Christ than any other way by forgiving, by showing maturity, by going out and not running them through, even though you might have the right to do those things. But it gives the opportunity to let Christ work in your life and speak through you and use you in a special way. I've learned much more in the trials than I have in the blessings. You learn much more when things are hard than when things are just going great and perfect. Psalms 27 says this, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And when you read through this passage of Scripture, you see the psalmist going through a very dark time, a very hard time, a suffering. And he says, look, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to trust in God's Word. I'm going to ask God for answers. I'm going to ask God for help. I'm not going to forget God's Word. I'm not going to stop doing His precepts. And my desire will always still to be faithful to Him. And I know I need the Lord. So that's what he's saying. My soul fainted. So I know those people deal with, and I'm not sure how many of us in this room have dealt with dark times or depressions. Then once again, this is a man after God's own heart. He's not turning to the bottle. He's not turning to a drug. He's not turning to some self-help group. He's turning to the Lord and saying, all these things are happening to me, and it's overwhelming me. And I'm going to stay faithful. I'm going to stay true. But God, I need your help. Because without you, I'm going to fail. And I think it's important to understand that. That when our hard times come, let's remember to see the good in the Lord. I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The psalmist could say, I still know that God's good. I'm going to stay faithful and I'm going to stay true, even though the people I had to deal with, the prideful people, the unjustful people, the spiteful people, none of that's going to cause me to stop trusting in the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that these thoughts would help us tonight. Because whether we're going through something right now or not, there's going to come a day and time when someone is going to be abusive towards us. When someone is, and I'm not talking about physically more than I am emotionally and mentally, but there are going to be times when people are going to be spiteful, they're going to be unjust, they're going to be prideful people who don't care what anybody else thinks or says. They just want to harm people. And Lord, we need to learn how to deal with it. We see David brokenhearted. We see him struggling, but we see him saying, my hope is in your word still, Lord. I'm not going to forget thy precepts. I'm not going to stop doing thy statutes. Over and over, he says, I want to keep thy praises, even in these hard times. Lord, help us to understand that this will affect us. There's going to be times when we want to give up. There are going to be times when this makes us wearied and even ages us. There's going to be times when we feel like we're fainting. There'll be times when we just get tired of looking for you and how you're going to work. But during those times, help us to even double down and say, I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I know this is truth, and I can, with God's help and God's grace, still live for him despite being despitefully used. In Jesus' name.